And that remains owned by established residential dwelling use longtime owners, is it from a development purpose, et cetera, absolutely necessary to require the entirety of all that property to also apply for a rezoning application, et cetera, versus just addressing that smaller parcel that in the real world, in the physical world, is going to be incorporated, regardless of lot lines, into the adjoining development. And so I thought, okay, there will be other instances where this arises, and I think this probably just makes the process more efficient. So that's my two cents on it. And it was discussed, I think, back on the December 5th Plan Commission meeting when the development subject matter was here.
Mr. Moore.
Seems like, regardless if you're looking at Grafton or Oak Creek, it seems like the whole intent is that you know exactly where a certain spot is zoned. Is it zoned this way or that way? And I think the way we're proposing to leave it here, if we adopt this, would be there's kind of a line out there, but nobody's going to really know for sure where that is. Is there a way to, I want to say, compromise where we can ask for, and it doesn't have to be a new CSM, but at least something that could be recorded with the deed that says, you know, the zoning line is X feet from this property line or something along those lines, something that describes it, so that in the future when somebody goes to build whatever they want to build, they are certain that on this spot on earth it is zoned this way or that way. Is that a possibility we could?
Mr. City Attorney?
What difference would it make? What are the two zoning districts? It's
R8 and A1 or A2. So significantly different zoning districts, significantly different values. Somebody's going to buy it. They're right there is the first problem. How much of the property is R8? I got to pay more for it. How much of the property is A1 or A2? How much do I pay for it? I don't think the line is there. I think it's over here. I bought the property as is. I thought it was over here. Now I've been screwed. That's what I'm afraid of. And that's what I'm trying to
say. Size of this property in general in today's world, in the area located, considering what is going on the property immediately adjacent now, I dare say that someone interested in acquiring this property would be looking at some new development on some portion of it when all this would change and that property would be the subject of a new certified survey map, et cetera, and that's, otherwise, you know, what difference? People don't know or are informed of what the zoning on a property is when they acquire a property.
Oh, they argue about anything at the drop of a hat.
It doesn't matter what human beings argue about, it's whether or not they're provided the information, especially in today's electronic information world.
But in this instance, they're providing inaccurate or incomplete information.
What's inaccurate about it?
The location of that line.
Why is it inaccurate?
Because it doesn't follow any feature or any legal description or anything. It's so a line on the map that's never been surveyed, as far as I know.
It's on the official zoning map of the city, correct?
So, the old map. So, yes, I get a ruler out and I measure it. That's not very accurate.
Is the existing established residential dwelling potentially within feet of this line?
100 feet, 200 feet, something like that, sure.
Okay. So is anything within 100 feet of this line that's a structure?
I don't think we have the photograph here. Because it's an old farmhouse, there could be a shed or a garage or something, but I'm not sure. Other than that, no.
So then it's accessory to R8 as well as A1.
So my question was, would something that just defines where that line is attached to D, would that provide the same?
Which would be the same as requiring the property owner to apply for a certified survey map,
no.
Because you're going to have a surveyor go out there, et cetera, et cetera.
I guess I'm not saying that. I'm saying that if you wouldn't maybe have a surveyor prepare it, but still that's significantly less effort, no more meetings, no CSM processes, nothing like along those lines. It's just something they And again, you could measure it on a map, but as long as everyone agrees that that's 100 or 175 or whatever the magic number is, then that we're okay with that.
I would say it's easier to rezone it.
And then I would say they should have done it the first time a month ago.
And I would say, what if they just, when they're doing their rough grading, they grade a short berm along the property line, make the measurement, and call that, say, that's the zoning line.
But then you would need something to describe where it's going to the berm.
That's that berm that goes, in this case, north and south.
That'd be the same as just a measurement.
What if somebody moves the berm on a Saturday night?
Now, who would do that?
And one follow-up question. So, regardless of what we decide here, this goes to Common Council to decide, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Okay.
Commissioner Leon.
Mr. Dealey, you had mentioned that this is a very common rule in communities, and I understand that, I guess. And please forgive my lack of information on the background on this, but why? What's the underlying reason that this is prohibited? What does it affect those around? Is it line of sight? I mean, what's the reason we should deny it, in your opinion?
I would argue that Franklin's been lucky we haven't had more arguments about this. I didn't think about this ahead of time. I have run into this problem on my previous job in Brown County, where people would argue over property lines and zoning district boundaries. The neighbor versus neighbor, developer versus owner, developer versus developer. It wasn't that uncommon. And my understanding from the schooling that I've picked up over the years for planning is that this is one of the issues that zoning is intended to resolve, to address. Without zoning, you'll have chaos. And this is one of the issues that zoning was created to resolve, is how do we accurately identify where zoning district boundaries are, and how do we get that information out there easily, fairly, and accurately? And then the most common way to do that, I believe, and from my not only my teachings, but from my experience, is that a lot of zoning districts, I would argue probably most of them in the country, say something, you have to follow something. Again, like I gave the examples, a railroad, a road, a river, that kind of stuff. You can't just arbitrarily draw a line down the middle of your farm field and say the left side is R8 and the right side is A1. And then that's why we require surveyors to go out there, because people, and that's another issue too, I've had people go to court fighting over less than a foot. And then you got competing surveyors, professional surveyors, arguing over something, 0.3 of a foot. And I've gone to court to testify in that. So I do think that this is what zoning is created to solve, and that now I will again admit and acknowledge that the prohibition that you can't have it at all is probably not as common. The requirement that it has to follow something, I believe, is very common. So too late to fix that. So I'm just saying, let's just follow the current standard and require them to rezone.
Mr. City Attorney, and then I got a statement.
Mr. Dito, with regard to your statement testifying in litigation involving maybe a foot or less, was that in a residential neighborhood?
Yep, two properties in a subdivision plat.
Okay.
Fighting over where the line
okay.
was.
Okay, that's not any way comparable to this scenario, is it?
Yep. We had our version of the C1 zoning district. And
no,
that was
this subject property. You're talking about houses next to houses in a residential subdivision versus a long time ago constructed, occupied, established dwelling structure and some farmland behind it for acres and acres. That's not a comparable to your foot or less litigation scenario.
But I didn't think we had anything about the agricultural use in this exclusion. It just talks about the residential use, adjoining a tax incremental mixed use district, and the residential dwelling.
That's correct.
Established.
I know.
So I'm saying
but
that.
But you said there's A1 is part of the old split lot zoning.
Yes, but as this exclusion is worded.
Well, you're giving an example of a foot or less. This ain't comparable to your foot or less example. It's not a matter of split lot zoning in some residential neighborhood akin to the houses on Church Street in St. Martin's.
But I would say it is a fair example because somebody wants to buy this property, they got to agree on what the value is. To agree on what the value is, you look at both what its current use is and what its future use is. And then to look at the current use, you also look at the current zoning. And it's hard to get people to agree on a price, and you just threw a wild card into it. Because now we have a line for zoning districts that aren't that isn't based on anything.
Okay, now comes the mayor and his practical, let's figure this out and move on, right? First of all, the realities are this. That lot's going to be sold for continuation of the business park, period. There's no doubt in my mind that that's what's going to happen. Because who's going to build a house there with industrial users all around it? So I understand what Joel's saying, and he's absolutely correct professionally. But practically, let's fix this and move on, because in the end of the day, it's going to fix itself probably within another year, if that long, would be my guess. I don't have any inside information, but yeah, I understand what you're saying about that. We can fix the line by making them build a line. Yeah, okay. So what if somebody gets a bulldozer out in the middle of the night and decides to move a bunch of dirt and move the line? Sure, that could happen, but there's a practical reality to this. There's going to be something developed on there starting probably on the 22nd of the month. Well, at least announced. So, Commissioner Leon.
So the question I have is both to the city attorney and the planning manager. We talked about this could have arguments and potentially court proceedings on this in theory. Do either of you see any realistic arguments over it for this applicant? And if so, why? And if not, I guess the same thing, why not?
Let's do Mr. Deedle first, and then we'll go for the close with the
what
city
kind
attorney.
Of
Do you believe anybody's going to argue over this application? Not it could, you know, because this is why we have rules. I get all that. But for this application, do you anticipate an argument over this?
What we're trying to accomplish with the UDO text amendment, I don't think anybody else would object except a planner.
Okay. Fair enough.
I think the only thing is the possibility that somebody trying to buy the property and somebody trying to sell the property would have more to argue about now.
Mr. City Attorney, same question.
Not just with regard to the applicant, but in general, I don't see any issue.
Thank you both.
And on the applicant, I'm not going to argue. Okay, anybody else? Commissioner Hitt? Push your button. Thanks.
I guess I'll just weigh in support of staff. I fully understand the reasons for not splitting zoning like this. And it's intangible and can have a lot of impacts, but at the same time, I think we've come around with a foolproof workaround on it. The language that's here, as I tend to agree with the mayor in this situation, but I wouldn't want to see this happening on a regular basis.
And I agree with that too. Is there a motion to recommend approval and ordinance to amend unified
mayor.
Development?
Sorry, do we need to open close the public hearing?
Did I not close it? I'll hereby close the public hearing. There we go. Now, thank you, Regula. Appreciate that. Is there a motion?
Was it opened?
Yeah.
Yes.
I thought I closed it right away, too, but
yeah.
Maybe
I don't have a closing.
We closed it twice. We're just being efficient, right? Okay. Is there a motion to recommend approval and ordinance to amend Unified Development Ordinance 15-3.0103.A.3 split zoning of newly created lots not allowed to provide for an exception to provide for and accept certain minor land divisions involving an established residential use not currently intended for redevelopment?
Motion to approve.
For second?
Second.
Discussion on the motion. Seeing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
No.
Regulo, please make a roll call.
Commissioner Bloodhart?
Aye.
Commissioner Haley?
Aye.
Sidney Unimoro?
No.
Alderman Dendria?
Aye.
Commissioner Leon?
Aye.
Zoning code requires four affirmatives. We do have four affirmatives, one in opposition. Motion carries, four ayes, one no. All right. And then next on the agenda is a natural resource protection plan and site intensity and capacity calculation exclusions for the Unified Development Ordinance. This is a public hearing. Mr. Martinez.
Notices hereby given that the Plan Commission of the City of Franklin will conduct a public hearing on Thursday, January 9, 2020 at 7 p.m. or soon thereafter after the matter may be heard in the Common Council Chambers at Franklin City Hall, 9229 West Loomis Road, Franklin, Wisconsin, 53132. To hear public comment regarding an application by the City of Franklin for a proposed ordinance to amend Unified Development Ordinance Section 15.305.01c exclusions when natural resource protection and site intensity and capacity calculations are not required, to provide for and exclude certain minor land divisions involving an established residential use not currently intended for redevelopment, specifically a natural resource protection plan and related requirements such as the submission of conservation easement shall not be required with an application for certified survey map approval for the purpose of providing additional land to an adjoining tax incremental district mixed-use development including industrial and commercial uses where lots are being created from a parcel or parcels upon which there exists an established residential dwelling building use, such established use parcel or parcels not being subject of current further development application. For such remaining established residential dwelling building use parcel or parcels only, provide with regard to such remaining established residential building dwelling use of parcel, provided that, first, in lieu of natural resource protection plan submission requirement, the certified survey map application shall show upon its face the existence of any natural resources as identified in section 15.401.02 located on the parcel of the certified survey map based upon the best available information. Second, that a natural resource protection plan must be submitted upon any further development of the remaining established residential dwelling building use parcel or parcels. And third, the following note shall be placed upon the face of such certified survey map. The natural resource features identified herein upon lots numbers are not based upon field surveys. In the event of further land division or development of lot number, which any such natural resource feature, a complete NRPP with field surveys is required for said parcel. This public hearing is being held pursuant to the requirements of Section 62237D2 of the Wisconsin Statutes and Division 1590200 of the City of Franklin Unified Development Ordinance. The public is invited to attend the public hearing and to provide input. The proposed draft ordinance is subject to revisions following public hearing and further consideration by the Plan Commission and the City of Franklin Common Council.